Okay, let's start our discussion of Parsha Shmini. Parsha Shmini, I think last year we missed Parsha Shmini. So this is the first one on Shmini in the cycle. Getting into the post-Pesach part of the calendar in the time period that the Ramban, Ala Torah, thank you very much, the Ramban Ala Torah, which we'll get to in Parsha's Emor, calls this time period Chol HaMoed. The time between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach and in the Torah, Shavuos is called, at least in Torah Shebaal Peh, Shavuos is called Atzeres, right? V'yom HaShvi'i Atzeres Yelechem. So just like we have Shmini Atzeres at the end of Sukkos, so too we have Shavuos, which is also called Atzeres at the end of Pesach. Pesach is really, you don't say Shechiyonu at the end, the last day of Pesach, because the end of Pesach, the ultimate Leda of Klal Yisrael happened on Shavuos. So just like Shmini Atzeres is a close of Sukkos, Shavuos is really a close of Pesach, and the Ramban says it's a very special, unique time period that is a type of Chol HaMoed, quoting a Zohar. How did it become a time of period of Avelus? That was a later point in history. It took a different type of nature. So it should be, it's a Chol HaMoed. It's a joyous nature. But hopefully we'll talk about that at some point in the future. Today, though, let us start and focus on Parsha Shmini. Just start with, again, a small thought, that in many Siddurim, at the beginning of davening, there's in little letters, right before Matovu, in little letters it says, Ha'arizal Haya Omer. The Arizal, we have a mug from the Arizal, buried only a couple of hours from here. The Arizal said that before we daven every day, we should say the following, Harini Makabel Olai, Mitzvah Zaseh Shel V'yahatzel Recha Kamocha. I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of V'yahatzel Recha Kamocha. Because we can't daven unless we are part of Klal Yisrael. We daven with a minyan, we daven with a tzibur. So in various sedurim, it says at the beginning of davening. It's a minhag of some to say it. Harini makabel alai mitzvah zaseh shel v'yahatzel recha kamocha. It's like a hinini muchan mezuman to v'yahatzel recha kamocha. Right? That's what we have to, everything we say in davening is in the plural. It's in the plural. We say, even though the pasuk in Navi says, Rafa'ini Hashem ve'e Rafa'i, right? We say Rafa'inu Hashem, right? Because we make it plural because we daven in the tzibur. So there's an allusion to that concept I saw in the Karas L'Shabbos Oneg, it's an allusion to that in the first source. So, Revisa Gloria Ha'ari Kadosh Haya Omer. I'll call Adam v'Adam l'feishim makabel atzva ol macha shemayim. You should say, b'makabel the mitzvah say avatzal rechal gomocha. Where do you see that alluded to in a pasuk? Says the Karas L'Shabbos Oneg, Dover zeh merumaz b'pasuk. It's alluded to in the first couple of psukim in the Torah, Vayikrevu Kaleida, Vayamdu Lifnei Hashem. What does the pasuk say? They all came close, the entire Eda came together, and then Vayamdu Lifnei Hashem. Before they were Omeid Lifnei Hashem, Vayikrevu Kaleida. They came together. First you have to come together. If we come together as a tzibur, if we come together as a v'hatzel recha kamocha, then we're able to be omeid lefnei Hashem properly. We're not omeid lefnei Hashem by ourselves. We are omeid lefnei Hashem together. So that's a hint to that minhag of the Arizal, v'yikrevu kol ha'eda, and only then you have amida. Literally, the amida, the tefillah, amida lefnei Hashem. Okay. One of the main issues in the parsha that is discussed by all of the mefarshim is the chet of Nadav and Avihu. Chet of Nadav and Avihu, exactly what was done is not 100% clear in the text of the Torah Shebichsav. As we know, this was Bayom HaShmini. This was the eighth day of the Chanukah. Even though it's been a while, we think Pesach was in the middle. In the Torah, Pesach wasn't then. But yeah, Bayom HaShmini, it was on the eighth day of the Chanukah HaMishkan. And they had the special Avoda being Mechanech the Mishkan. And on that day, at the end of Perek Tes, the end of Perek Tes, a special fire went out and ate the karbanos, and then the Torah says, "Vayikhu b'nei Aaron." The beginning of Perek Yud, "Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machtaso." Nadav and Avihu each took their shovel with the ktoris. "Vayitnu bohen ish," and they put fire in it. "Vayasimu leha ktoris," they put ktoris, the special incense, in it. "Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem ish zara," and they brought close in front of God a strange fire. In Eish Zara, Asher Lo Tziva Usam. That God did not command. There's even a Mercha Kfula on the low, as if that itself might have certain meaning, not for now. But they brought an Eish Zara, and that's all we know. That's the entire pasuk that we know about Nadav and Avihu. They brought an Eish Zara. And what happened? And the fire went out, and they were consumed. Vatochal Osam Yamusel Fnei Hashem. They died in front of Hashem, which is actually those who are doing the Dafyomi now. It's in Yonad Yoma. That the makar for Srefa of Bezdin is learned out from from these psukim of Vayamusla Vayashem, the type of Sreifa. This was also Sreifas Neshama, just like we do in Beis Din. But that's it. Two words, Eish Zara. And the question is, what exactly does that mean? What did they do? What is the message for us? What can we learn? We're going to learn about Aaron's reaction a little later, but first this act. What exactly was the Eish Zara? So almost every one of the Mefarshim have their own interpretation of really exactly what the sin was. We'll go through three. Three pshatim, what exactly was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? Rav Yosef, we'll go backwards in time. First we'll do Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. We've got a lot of feedback that people want to know where to get his svarim. I got it from a grandson. Rav Yosef Nechemya was the last Rav in Krakow. I know his grandson lives in Lawrence. So that's what I got the sefer from him. But then, so they have it in some of the stores, the drushes and the chidushim. But first we'll see the words of Rav Yosef Nechemya. Then we'll go on to the Ksav Sofer. And then finally we'll go back and see the words of the Netziv. So first we'll start with Rav Yosef Nechemya in source number 2. Vayakrivu levnei Hashem eish zara shalot tziva osam. Amru chazal b'medrash. First he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash, and not only various Midrashim, quote other Averos that were committed by Nadav and Avihu. Shemeis v'ashlo nasu nashim. They didn't get married. You know why, the guy? They didn't get married. V'lo ha'ilam banim. They didn't have children. The question is, where do you get that from? That's a strange fire? A strange fire that they didn't get married? Where did Chazal get this from? Osham shahocha achrei Moshe v'Aaron. This is also in the Gemara. Another opinion: they went after Moshe and Aaron. Va'amru masa yamusu hazakenim halalu v'yaniv yata ninogatzibor. When are these old men going to die already, so we could take over and we could lead the nation? When are these Moshe and Aaron? They're moving on in years already. How long are they going to live? How long do people live in those days? Right, they're already past Shmonim Shana. Moshe was 80 when already in Mitzrayim. So what? So they were saying, what are they going to die already? Again, where do they see this in the text? Where did they come up with this? What is the connection between the two? Is there a connection between not getting married and saying, I wish these old men would die already? And we're going to get to other pshatim in the other opinions. But these are the ones that he discusses. If I wouldn't be scared, says Yosef Nechemya, this is what I think the pshat is. The drash. These were tzaddikim, these were sons of Aaron HaKohen. How could they just say, we're not doing a mitzvah zaseh, daraisa? We're not going to get married. We're not going to have children. Why? Why would they pick that mitzvah? Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya, it must be like the Tana ben Azai, who we know, she'omar nafshi chashka b'torah, Ben Azai, the only Tana, maybe one of very few, that he says, what can I do? I have to learn. I can't deal with family life. I can't deal with supporting a wife and children. I can't. I'm sorry, but I can't. Nafshi chashka b'Torah. Ben Azai was on that level, right? We can't even fathom that he never took 3 minutes to himself. His whole mahus was shaku in Torah. Shalei yisbat afilu rega. He didn't do half the mitzvahs that we do, because he was busy learning. What's called Torasa Umnaso. He didn't do half the mitzvahs that we do, because he was busy learning. He was in Mizbatel Avrega Me'avodes HaKodesh. Not even for a second. The story is told, as an aside, and we can't fathom what this means, but he tells the story about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish one time was learning in his house, and he was by his, it was late at night, he was by his table, and then he went into his room. He had a little table in his room, in his private room, and he was learning, and his grandchildren must have been sleeping in the other room, and all of a sudden they hear a big thud. What happened? They run into the room and they see their grandfather on the floor, slowly getting up from the floor, right next to his bed. They run, they help him up. What happened, Zaidi? What happened? What happened? He's like, no. What happened? Did you trip? See, he said, I try every night, I use every last ounce of strength that I have to learn. And I calculated exactly that I'll have enough strength, a few ounces of strength left to get back to my bed. I must have miscalculated tonight. I didn't make it. I must have miscalculated. I didn't make it. So I fell down. That's somebody in Ardar. Somebody in Ardar who was on that level. So here he says, he's Ben Azai. Ben Azai was Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. And he wasn't mispatent even one moment. Hachanami, atzadikim, legodel hishtoku kusam, letar vavodatama, lo atzer koach lita ol isho banim. This is not the ideal. This is not the ideal, Chazal say. But this was a Metzias of Ben Azai. He couldn't. Umemela muvan. Ki tzadikim ke'elu. Me'achash ayushruyim b'li'ol tzavaram. But let's say you have a certain tzaddik like this, like Ben Azai, that he's not going to have the usual balanced outlook on society that somebody who is married with children involved in society would have, which is the ideal goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from all of us. And what would be in him? They were so extreme, a person like Ben Azai. He doesn't deal with family life. He can't deal with society around him. Like the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he came out of the cave, what happened? He looked everywhere. Everybody burned up in front of him because he wasn't used to being involved in the world. Umemela muvan. So says Rabbi Yosef Nechemia, that was not the Vanaviyu. What does it mean? An Eish Zara burned to them? It was an Eish! Like Ben Azai had an Eish. It was the Torah. But it was Zara because it wasn't ideal. It wasn't what was expected and what was needed, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from all of us. He wants us to have an Eish of Torah, but also to be involved in a family and be involved in the world around us and be involved in society. And therefore, he says, "Umemela muvan shlo matzu koras ruach v'anagatan shlo Moshe v'Aaron." Nadav and Avihu looked at Moshe and Aaron, and what did they say? What are these such forgiving leaders? These were over the Avodah Zarah by the Eikah. Look what they did. They davened for them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, come on. Give him some slack. Relax. What are they doing? But as I was a kanoi. Tilafi daitam. Va'esh ha'gdola ha'boa bekirbam. Because of the fire that was in them. Hayameh ha'roi lef'amim la'har'ish olamos. Akol chet va'avon. They were followed what we would call midas ha'din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is din. This is what's needed. Moshe and Aaron. If you can even say such a thing, you have to say they did something wrong because HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them on the spot. So says of Yosef Nechemia, but this was their mistake. They went too much to the extreme. The calls that Balaam. So if you think about it, says of Yosef Nechemia, the same root cause that told them not to get married was the same root cause that made them look askance on the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. It was that they weren't involved, but they weren't betoch ha'am. They weren't betocha machane, which was needed. We spoke about this a few weeks ago when we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain, remember? And we said he comes down to Yeshua. Yeshua says, I don't know, all that sound over there. Kohu, the sound of people in war. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yeshua, you're not listening. You're not betocha machane. You have to be able to understand and discern what the people, what stage the people are at. So that's what they were saying. Moshe and Aaron, how could they lead that way? The kol zeh bala emipash shelo nasu nashim, velo nichnasu ba'ol b'nei adam. So that was the Eish Zara. It was an Eish inside of them. But it was a Zara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't have leaders. These are going to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. I can't have them as leaders. Ben Azai wasn't the Gadol Ador. There were other Gadol Ador. He did it for what he did for himself. But Nadav and Avihu, they were going to be the leaders after Aaron HaKohen. I can't have a Kohen Gadol like that. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to strike them down. But that's why they chose not to get married. And that's why they chose to say what they said about the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. One idea about what the chait was. A second idea from the Ksav Sofer. Sarach Loma, he quotes the Medrash, they didn't get married, and they said one of these is going to die. It's third line, source number three. Sarach Loma, Shekol Zeh Lomas Yashiv B'mikra, Bakriva Meizara. Again, the question that everyone asks. How does this fit in to the strange fire? Gam Yesh L'tamu Ala Tadikim Ke'elu. Same question. How could these tzaddikim, shahayu gedolim, mimoshev aaron, shavru mitzvah Hashem, velokimu mitzvahs puravu? How could you say this? How could they choose this? V'nira li, and look what the Ksav Sofer says. Interesting, thinking about who the Ksav Sofer was, reading this thought. Who his father was, and who his family line was. He was, of course, the son of the Chasam Sofer, one of the greats, great poskim of all time. Says the Ksav Sofer, v'nira li, Delachin lo nasu nashim. Why didn't they get married? Ki ra'u shebnei Moshe lo haya kidboi lemehevi ki yadua. Chazal tell us in Maseches Baba Basra that Moshe Rabbeinu's children weren't the greatest tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu wished that his children would follow him and step into his shoes, but Chazal tell us that they were not. And his grandchildren were not even parav. They weren't even neutral, Chazal tells in Baba Basra. This is what Nadav and Avihu see. They see Moshe's kids, and they're not on the straight and the narrow. The imbnei Moshe einem ruuyim mehem yomadu hamone am v'yomadu kavachomer. What a terrible thing, thinks Nadav and Avihu to themselves. The children of Moshe aren't following it. What caused this? How could it be that the children of Moshe Rabbeinu aren't following his path? So what did they say to themselves? They didn't say, oh, it's Hashgacha. They didn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the next Gadol HaDor to be for Moshe. They wanted to be Yoshua. Whatever it is. But what did they say? V'talu hadavar hazeh bishvil shemoshe hayatarid tamid ematzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu had no time for his family, they said. He was busy being gosik b'tzar chesibur. V'lo hayalo be'afshal hashgiach al-banav. What Chazal even say? He didn't take a moment. Went from the mountain to the people, back to the mountain, back to the people. Does he have time to read his kids' books at night? Does he have time to be mashgiach, to do homework with them? Moshe, he's so busy. That's why, say Nadav and Avihu, his children aren't following him. You know what? We're going to be the next leaders. Better that we don't have kids. Because that way we can devote ourselves totally to the Am. We won't have any personal needs. Various people throughout history this was said about. Aaron HaKohen wasn't as busy. Okay, he did the Avoda. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Dayan. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. They came to him day and night. Aaron had some time off. Ki bnei Aaron hayu tzadikim gedolim. Ki Aaron lo hayu tarid kol kach v'shgiach habanav. U be'emes lo olo lemala kamoshe ki hayu isko bnei beiso. Says the Ksav Sofer. The son of the Ksav Sofer. His father was also Osek Pesach Yitzibur. B'chashvam kol zeh, hiskim v'daitem shlo lisa nashim. That's why they decided not to get married. B'asher hevinu b'mos Moshe v'aron, yinagolim v'tzibur. They said, because they said, we're going to be the next leaders. V'im yiyu lam banim, lo huyuchu l'ashkiach alam v'yechu derech lo tov. So he said, it's better not to get married. Not chas v'shalom, as he says now, skip a few lines to 15. Lo chas v'shalom shekivu amisasam. Chas v'shalom, they hoped, when are they going to die? Like in a negative way. We want to be the leaders already. But they realized, or they felt, that there was something chaser in the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. How could you be a leader and also be mashkiach on your children? How can you be a leader for all of Klai Yisrael and be so busy? Line 18, this was a tragic mistake. A tragic mistake which cost them their lives. Because Chas v'Shalom, they say something like that about Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say something, Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu maybe shouldn't have favored his son. Chazal said it so we could say it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, his sons didn't turn out, that's a fact. But there's no Chazal that say that blames it, or at least no chazal that he quotes that blames Moshe Rabbeinu for it. This was hashgacha. We do what we can. Ube'emes to. They made a mistake. Why? The Gemara we know from Maseches Brachos can be hadikashi rachman olam alon. Right? We can't make cheshbonos and decide I'm not going to do this mitzvah because it's on cheshbon that I don't want this to happen in the future. As the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, because Chiyo HaMelech saw Baruch HaKodesh that he was going to have a terrible wicked son, so he decided not to have children. And Yishayahu HaNavi comes to him and says, don't worry about what's going to be in the future. You do what's incumbent upon you, you have the child. The rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Ksav Sofer, Yikaimu Mitzvah Hashem HaKsuva V'HaMitzuva Aleihem V'Yolidu Banim. And that was the Eish Zara Asher Lo Yukubal Lefnei Hashem. The strange fire. They took the law into their own hands. They decided what they thought was correct. And they try to figure out reasons for events, which we cannot fathom. We just do our best. And whatever happens to the children, whatever happens, we're Osek Patsarchi Tzibur, but of course Osek Patsarchi Mishpacha first. But after that, it's all in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Revolbi writes in his Sefer on Zriya Ubinyan, Bechinuch, planting and building in child rearing, he writes, half of child rearing is hands-on, doing what we have to do, focusing on our children, teaching our children, explicitly talking with our children. But the other half of child rearing is davening. That's equal half. Davening for Siyata Deshmaya, because half of it is out of our hands. It is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we don't see the fruits right away. But that's what he says, and that's what the Ksav Sofer says. It wasn't for them to decide what exactly was the reason for Moshe Rabbeinu's family life. And finally, number three. Third idea that we have in Parsha Shmini. For the Chet of Nadav and Avihu, source number four, from the Netziv. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. The Netziv says a similar idea which we said last year, Parshas Kisisa in the name of the Beis HaLevi. Says the Netziv, what did it mean, Eish Zara? There was a problematic, general stain or improper outlook in their Hashkafa. What was that? Let's read the Nesif. Let's go to line 13. V'ha'inyan. First column, line 13. V'ha'inyan. Dikfar ha'i, where it's underlined. Dikfar ha'ya b'yimei Moshe kitos b'Yisrael shahayu lohutim achar avas Hashem. In the days of Moshe, there were many groups in Israel that were lahut, that had a burning desire to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tremendous passion. They wanted to do mitzvahs. Avalo al yidei gvulim shehigbila Torah. But they felt they can make up their own ways to get close to God. I don't have to do this mitzvah. This is what is spiritually inspiring for me. I don't have to go to I'm going to go to the beach and meditate instead of going to chakras. That's what gets me spiritually and religiously uplifted. There were those in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Netziv, that wanted to make up their own rules and their own mitzvahs. We're so l'shem shemayim. We want to do it. But they felt they could make up their own rules. Kasha Yavur Ba'orach Paparshas Korach, like in Korach, he says, Shezeha Yeikar Chetzal Reishon Anashim, the 250 men that were with Korach. Shayu Tzadikim Gemurim. They were Tzadikim. V'chatu B'nafshosam. B'masha Masr Atzman L'misai. They Teshuka Kedusha Zu. They wanted to get, they brought Ktores. They shouldn't have brought Ktores. Kadosh Baruch Hu told them not to bring Ktores. They said, no, we're going to do this. Avagash Shalo Yil Ratzon Kifi Aderach HaTorah. No, no. You're not Aaron Ubanov. Try to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's wonderful that we have spiritual feelings, but it has to be within the confines of the law, within the confines of mitzvos. V'hine kvar yada Moshe Rabbeinu shekitos ke'ela misnot tzetzes, line 21. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew that there were these sparks, there was a rumbling amongst the masses of, we want to follow Hashem, we love Hashem, but we want to do it our own way. We want to reform the mitzvos. In those times, Ela Shalohi Giyadan Asholis Paret, it didn't happen yet. There were these rumblings. Al Kain, when did it happen first? Yom HaShmini. It happened today. And who did it? Nadav and Avihu. There was an exact list of karbanos and avodos that were to be done this day. And Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu were following it to a T, exactly what was done. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Nadav and Avihu say, we're going to add something. We're going to do this avoda. It's not commanded, but it's what we feel is good. What we feel. We're going to go into the Heichal. We're going to bring a fire. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you can't do that. Because that's an Eish Zara. Anytime we want to get close to God, but it has nothing to do with halacha, there are minhagim, there are additions. If we follow every nitty-gritty detail of halacha, of 613, we could be Mosif. If somebody wants to have a spodidus outside of Shachris, you want to sit up on a mountain and think about Hashem, but not instead of Shachris, okay, that's everybody's prerogative. If they feel they can do whatever they want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but making up your own mitzvahs, so that's an Eish Zara. That's a fire inside to get close to Hashem. Religious subjectivism is called in some circles. Right? When we feel this is what's going to get me close. I don't need religion. I just need the Kabbalah. Right? That type of attitude that we see in our day and age, where there's not called a commitment. That's, you know, it makes me feel good. That's not spirituality. That's not religion. It says the Nesiv. That's why Nadav and Avihu had to be cut down. Because this was the beginning. They made up their own avoda. But that is an Eish. That's an Eish Zara. It's an Eish of Avas Hashem, but it's Zara. And that's, we don't believe in that. That's exactly what the Beis HaLevi said back in Kisisa. Last year we discussed it. That was the Egel. The Egel, there was L'shem Shemayim, but it was an Eish Zara. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't command it. Didn't command it. Okay. Those are the three ideas related to the Chet of Nadav and Avihu. Rav Yossi V'Chemia, the Ksav Sofer, and the Netziv. So now we move on. Perek Tes, Pasik, Chav Gimel. Let's go back in time a little bit, before the Chet. Tes Chav Gimel. At the end of the Avoda, says the Torah, Vayavo Moshe Aaron Elo Moed, after the entire Avodah is done, think about it, the Mishkan, all the Nedavis were collected, was built, amazing. And what happens? Moshe and Aaron came to the Elo Moed, and they did all the Avodahs, Vayetsu, Vayavarchu Esa'am, and they gave a bracha to the people. What happened? Says Rashi, Lo Menichnesu, why'd they go in? Why'd they go in here? What were they going in for? Says Rashi, Kivan Shera Aaron Shakarvu Kala Karbanos Vinasu Kala Masim. This was the apex. They finished everything. They built the Mishkan. They did the Karbanos. They did everything. And Velo Yarda Shechina Li Yisrael. But the Shechina still did not come down. The cloud didn't come down. What happened? Haya mitzta'er. Aaron HaKohen starts thinking to himself, uh-oh. He was upset. Why was he upset? V'amar yodea ani shekos HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai. Oyvei. Hashem's still upset at me. I'm the Kohen Gadol. The Egel wasn't so far back, according to the Ramban, that the Egel happened before the, according to Rashi, let's say, that the Egel happened before the Mishkan. And, you know, I remember, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still upset. That's why there's no Ashuras HaShechina. U'bishvili lo yad HaShechina li Yisrael. You know why there's no Shechina here? Because of me, says Aaron. Amar lo la Moshe. Moshe achi kach asisi li shenichnasti v'nisbayashti. He says, it must be because of me. It must be that that's why there's no Shechina. Miyad, so what happens? Moshe takes Aaron in. Miyad nichnas Moshe imo u'bikshu rachmim the other Shechina li Yisrael. Shechina comes down. That's the Vayichnasu. Because it says here in the Pasuk, it says they went in. Where they go in? Says Rav Yeruchim. Says Rav Yeruchim. Source number 5. What do you learn from this Rashi? Aaron HaKohen sees there's no Shechina. Aaron HaKohen says, oh, it's because of me. What's the natural instinct, the natural inclination of people? When something goes wrong, when something happens, oh, who messed up? Whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? Moi? Ugh. Maybe that's the last thing I say, if people tell me. Teva ha'adam hu, lehefich. Where it's underlined. B'chol tzara shelo tavo alav hu tol letamid b'dvarim acherim v'lo b'chatav. There's no Shechina? What should Aaron HaKohen have said naturally? These Jews didn't have the right kavanas when they gave the Nadavis. There must be some stolen stuff in here. He's the Kohen Gadol. Aaron HaKohen, he goes and he sees there's millions of Jews. And what does he think? Not like Adam HaRishon, who says it was her fault. And not like Chava, who says it was his fault. Aaron didn't pass the buck. Aaron says, it must be me. It must be me. V'kol shekein tzarech lo tavo latzibur. V'nei kal ma'od lo sasiba b'chaveiro shechata v'lo ba'atzmo hu. It's very easy. That's what we normally do. Right? There are t-shirts the kids have. It was my sister's fault. It was my... Never our own fault. Im ki. Halo yitachin Moshe amnam b'golo. It's, even if it's possible, would he think that? Would he say that? Wouldn't he try to rationalize and say, there must be another reason? Ubi yichud ki lo ratza adam la ha'anish la ha'anish al ha'yoto gorm b'tzaras ha'klal. And it's not only something that happened to him. The whole nation? If something happens to the entire nation, he's going to blame himself? Ki al kain al pirov kol adam tolas ha'tzaras b'sirchan chaveiro. It's my friend's fault. My friend's fault. But what happened? Kishara, next paragraph. Aaron, shelo yarda shechina liYisrael, hits ta'er. V'lo tala b'sirchon shum adam. Right? Aaron HaKohen, you have to remember also, he knew all the fights of Klal Yisrael. Right? He went around to everybody to try to make peace. He knew everybody who did sinas chinam with each other. He knew all of that. Oyv shalom v'rodev shalom. He knew Klal Yisrael weren't the greatest tzaddikim. He was betocha machaneh, not like we said before, Nadav v'Aviyu. Moshe and Aaron were involved. And yet Aaron, when there's no Shechina, he says, it's me. It's me. Even though there were plenty of others who could have blamed it on. Sof kol sof ha'am hu shechata be'ekel. He didn't even do the ekel. Okay, he helped a little bit. He organized a little bit. But after all, he didn't really have a choice. He saw his nephew. His nephew was killed, right, in front of his eyes. Chur, and... No, it was his fault that he had to. It was the sakanas defashus. But tala sirchon dafka bo ad boshes v'yanan l'chol apachos. He says, when we see this Rashi, it's a Musar Haskel for us. V'zeo amnam his oris, line 21. His oris v'chizek gadol la'alam ha'omid b'nisayom. Whenever we're in a situation, lachshov shim yechta b'seser b'chedro aval halo gorim hezek gadol baruch nisu b'gashmis l'chol Yisrael. We always have to focus on ourselves. We always have to focus is, what could I do better? Did I do something wrong? It happens a lot when we can't find something. Right? Somebody took it. Somebody took it. Who took it? This took it, that took it, this person took it. Right? What's going on here? Who moved this without? And ultimately we find it. And we're like, oh yeah, I put it down there. I forgot I went there. How many times has that happened to us? But our automatic reaction is that it wasn't me. Couldn't it be me? Aaron HaKohen teaches us otherwise. Aaron says, Haye mitztair. And so in the Karas L'Shabbos Oni, they quote this thought anonymously, not from Yeruchim, and then they say it is a mushel. A mushel is a mushel. It's not an exact mushel. It's not a mushel of somebody who takes the blame. But it's a mashal of somebody who does not take responsibility. It says mashal Madar Adoma, line 5, source number 6. Pamachas is asvu kfutzas aniyah b'beis haknesset shelahem. There was a poor man's shul. There was a rich man's shul and a poor man's shul. All the rich people daven in one shul, and all the poor people daven in another shul. And they were talking amongst themselves. They were talking about it. One of them got up and said, you know what? In the rich man's shul, on Simchas Torah, they give out free wine. Free wine. Everybody gets free bottles of wine. Unbelievable. Free wine. His friend says to them, Nu, Tov, Dana, Chavira, Shirim, Haim. They're rich. What about, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. It's not Shaykh. We don't have enough money for wine. It's not Shaykh. What are you talking about? They're going to have enough money. What are you dreaming about? Karim's Palam Kananim. We're all poor. So a third one said, Yodim Atem Amar Shlishi. I have an idea. Olavadati Rayom. Natsiv Chavis Pepinas Pesach Knesses. Well, let's put a barrel in the corner of the shul. Ubechayom. Every day we each have a little schnapps. We have to take a little shot. Each day, you know what? Let's save it. We each have a little wine. You know what? Let's save up every little shot that we get. We'll pour into the barrel. And by Simchas Torah, we'll have a full barrel of wine. And in that way, at Simchas Torah, we could act like the rich. We could give out wine between the hakafis. It'll be amazing. Wonderful. They said, great idea. And the whole year, they each saw each other going to the barrel, pouring in their wine. Wonderful, wonderful. But Simchas Torah, they opened up the barrel. They each were ready to take their wine, v'hinei showed v'shever, they see the barrel is full of water. The entire barrel was full of water. And they look at each other, what's going on here? How could this be? How could this be barely full of water? And they realized, ulam, ish lo babatayna klapei reyehu, mishav shakolacha yadaki hu atzmo shafach chavis mayim b'makom yayin. They each knew, I'll pour a little water in. Everybody else is doing the wine. Don't worry about me. What's me? I'm not. It's not my responsibility. Not me. I'll pour a little. My friends are all pouring wine. I'll just pour a little water. And ultimately, nobody took responsibility. And that's why they ended up with a barrel of water. Kainu Gama Nimsha, line 23. I call Yod Makirim. We all know of the Chiyuv to do it. We have to do it. But do we take responsibility? Let him start. Let him do it. Let him take responsibility. It's not me. Aaron HaKohen says it is me, and I'm going to take responsibility. Okay. So now we have the chait, we went back a little bit, let's get back to the chait. The chait of Nadav and Avihu, what was Aaron's reaction? Famous reaction, after Aaron HaKohen's children are taken from him, 2 out of 4, Vayidom Aaron, in Yud, Pasagimel, Aaron is silent. Vayidom Aaron. Says Rashi, Vayidam Aaron, Kibel Schar al Shtikaso. He received reward for not screaming out on this wonderful day of his life. He was finally going to be, this was his investiture as the Kohen Gadol on a permanent basis. The Mishkan, he was going to be the Kohen Gadol. They finished everything. Now he's going to, terrible tragedy. He should have come, Kodesh Baruch, how can you do this? He didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. And he got schar. Mao schar kibel. What schar did he get? Shenesiachedi moadibur. The next pasuk. What's the next parsha in the Torah? Vaydaber Hashem el Aaron lemar. Very unusual. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemar is all the time. Right after Vayidam Aaron, Vaydaber Hashem el Aaron lemar. Aaron, you get a special parsha just to you. That's Rashi. Says the Darkei Musar, Rav Naiman, source number 7. Maybe there's something a little deeper in Rashi. It's not just that. Because Aaron was silent, therefore Hashem special gave him reward. No. Because how was he able to be silent? How could he be silent at a time like this? V'yav Shalomar in Source 7. Kizelo hayarak schar. It wasn't a separate reward that he received. But Aaron Kishikar lo asam kazeh, when this terrible tragedy happened, that pitom, half his children were gone. V'lishnag basa kazeh, you know what kind of inner fortitude, inner emuna was needed? We can't even fathom it. Not saying a word. What type of emuna is needed? At that moment, Aaron must have, inside of him, worked and worked and worked, or beforehand, that he reached the level of emunah that he did. And he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a divine plan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and he knows what he's doing. So it wasn't a, you did something good, so I'm going to give you a reward. No. As the Rambam writes, when a person reaches a certain level of emunah, then automatically he connects to the Shekhinah. Nevuah, according to the Rambam, is not a present from Hashem. It's a natural level that if a person works on themselves and they perfect themselves to the level of in midos, in deos, automatically they become a Navi. So says the Darkei Musar, here, by the fact that Aaron did it, it must be he reached the level of emunah that is so hard to fathom, and memela, he had Ashuras HaShechina. It wasn't just a schar. Misaperas haTorah shekol kach hosef biyiras Hashem ad shehigia lemadreika shel Ashuras HaShechina v'nevuah. He must have reached that level. It was something natural. Skip a line. Ki mishe mamin be'emunah shelema b'hasharas hanefesh ein lo lehitzar har be'alames. Because if somebody really believes deep down, and it's very hard, but if somebody believes deep down that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and there is an afterlife, and this world is just a stepping stone, as Shlomo HaMelech said, Tov Yom HaMavis Miyom Hivaldo, because you could see what a person did in 120 years. Right? If we really believe that, then there's an emotional, obviously, reaction of a loss, but we know everything is ultimately for the good. K'moshe Mevar HaRamban, as he quotes the Ramban on the Pasuk of Banam Atem Al Hashem Elokeichem, you are children of God, don't cut yourself because of a dead body as other nations do. Don't wound yourself. The Ramban there quotes the Eben Ezra, Rabbi Avraham Amar, Achar she'tedu she'atem banim Hashem, v'hu ohev eschem yoser menav lebeno. Hashem loves all Jews more than a father loves his children. Losis godu ha'makom ha'shi'aseh, and don't afflict yourself like the nations of old did upon the death of a relative. Kikom ha'shi'aseh letofu, v'im lo tivinuhu. And if you don't understand it, kasha lo yavinu ha'banim ha'ktanim, ma'asavihem. How many times do we tell our children who are young but feel that they know everything, especially more than us, you don't understand this now because you're not a parent. When you're a parent, you'll understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you're not a God. You're not in charge. You can't understand this. It's just beyond, the child says, no, I understand everything. They think they understand everything at the stage that they're in life. And every stage of life, we realize that what we knew 10 years ago was not everything, even though we thought so. And, right, as Pirkei Avos says, Seva, Zikna, all the levels of wisdom that come in time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing to us. You're humans. You're humans. You're finite. Right, you're not a God. You can't understand everything. So once we believe that, once a child believes in his parent knows what's best for me, then the Jews have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. That's what the Ramban says. Has to be our attitude. And that is what the Darkei Musar says. Aaron must have inculcated within himself this midah of emunah. Then Memela, he got Nevuah. Memela, he reached it. When the challenge came in front of him, he put it into action, that emunah, and in that way, he was zochah to Nevuah. To just look at the next paragraph for a minute. Ulefi zeh hamamin b'Hashem yodeya, ki hu lo meis el ha'adam ha'over la'olam ha'yoser tov. We know a person goes to the next stage of life. Ela habechi hu begeder kemo sha'achar nifar miyedida hu boche. When our friends with us, we just finished Yontif. Say after a Yontif, sometimes parents and friends leave, so we're sad. We cry a little bit. But we're not crying because of something ultimate. We're crying because we're not with our friends anymore. So that kind of bechi is natural. But if we reach the level of emunah that we realize that somebody's in a better place, which Aaron HaKohen knew, so then that what allowed him to be vayidom Aaron. That's what allowed him to have that out. Okay, two more thoughts for the night. One is an amazing hint to a halacha. Imagine these types of thoughts in the past, based on one word in the Torah. Based on one word. Let's read a pasuk. Pasuk says in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis. Yud Aleph Beis. We know the end of Parsha Shmini, not the end, but the second to last section is all about Hilchas Kashrus. Hilchas Kashrus. Kosher, non-kosher, birds, and fish, all the animals. Says the Torah, Vaydabar Hashem Moshe al Aaron Lemor Aleihem. Hashem says to Moshe and to Aaron, Lemar Alehem, to say to them, Dabru b'nei Yisrael Lemar, Zos Achai Asher Tachlu, etc. Ask the Arachayim HaKadosh. What is that word, Lamar? Vaydabar Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron, Lamar Alehem. Dabro b'nei Yisrael Lamar. So the second one is Lamar. That always says that. The first one seems to be extra Lamar. What's that Lamar? Vaydabar Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron, Lamar Alehem. Arachayim asks, why that Lamar? And he gives an answer. He gives an answer. You can look, I didn't give you the Arachayim, but that's his question. There is a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe writes in Arachayim, Chelek Beisim and Peches. Tshuva written in 1963. Be'inyin Bas Shote. There was a mentally retarded child, a Bas Shote. Im Rashai Ha'av Lamosro Le'institution Shel HaMedina. The father wanted to put the child into some type of school, which would be good for the child. She'ochlim she'isuri, but the problem was, there was no kosher alternative. There was no kosher alternative. V'imutar laharshos larofim. Okay, we don't have to go to the second half. It's not our issue now. That was the question. The question was, there was no choice. There was a girl that could not live at home anymore. And the question is, are the parents allowed in 1963 to put the child in the institution, knowing that she would eat dvarim ha'asurim? Add to the fact that in this case, the father suffered from a heart condition, as Rav Moshe discusses, and the father's life was becoming in danger because of the tremendous burden that was on him. That was the question that was asked to Rav Moshe. B'dvarecha sheish lo bashotem yaldusa uladibri harofim humitzad hamoach shebederech hateva in lazer refuah. Bederech hateva, there was not going to be a refuah from this disease, whatever she suffered from, rachmana litzlan. And the father was getting physically sick. The father was sick in bed half the time. Are you allowed to do this? Baruch Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, we have other choices. Even in America, there are ways to get nowadays kosher food in different places. But again, this was the Shiloh. Now, we're not paskening. We're just showing where this emotion might come from in the Torah, as we'll see. So what is the psak? So that's why you need a gadol adar like Rav Moshe to answer this question. Says Rav Moshe, quoting a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, in a similar case, b'mashe mosra l'nachrim eino kema'achilo biyadayim. Umamela eno aser medina, says Rav Moshe, it is mutter. It's mutter. It's not called giving non-kosher food to your child. It's not called that. The bottom of the column. Avaloshote mamish ain't shum adifus b'mashatia gedola lafi hashanim. The gam gedola after mitzvahs. The child is petura from mitzvahs. It doesn't matter if the child is 6 or the child is 20. It doesn't matter. The child is pater from mitzvahs. Right, and therefore, it's not that even that this child, it's not the child, this school wasn't going to help the child get better, and in that way, the disease would be cured. No, it was, b'derech hateva, it was not becoming, she was not becoming better. Next column. Kivan she'eidu kadmoneinu, sha'al yidei ma'acholos asuris mistamtem halev, molulo teva ra. On the one hand, would you say that, like we know, hilchos kashrus is bad for a neshama? In is it better to keep her out of this institution which would be good for the child? Says her motion, no. Maybe in other cases where there was a chance that the child was becoming healed in the institutions. But in an institution, I'll skip in the middle of that paragraph. This child, we could keep davening for a nes, but b'derech hateva, this child is not going to become tachiyah mitzvahs. It's part of her mitzvahs. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nes, tisrape v'tase b'kachas v'adilam tat v'liba. The heart is not going to close. There's no timtum halev in this type of circumstance. Kilo yasa shemis barach nisim laharbos rishoyim. Unbelievable. He says, right, if you're making it to Iraq, HaKadosh is going to do an ace for the Russia. Lo yasa shemis barach nisim laharbos rishoyim. And therefore, I think that it is mutter. There's no problem with timtum halev in this case. That's our motion. Says the Yam Simcha, who we've quoted before, Rabbi Fried from Lakewood. Says the Yam Simcha, you know what? I think In one word, the Torah is alluding to Rav Moshe. At the beginning of Hilchas Kashrus, what does it say? Hashem says to Moshe Va'aron, Lamar Aleihem. What's Lamar? If you could tell them, if you could talk to them, if they have das to understand what's going on, Lamar, then Hilchas Kashrus applies to them. Then this whole parsha needs to be followed. That's the Lamar. Says in the second column in source number 9, Chazinon de Inkan Israel Achilles Varma. So he quotes Rav Moshe, and then he quotes Daro Bnei Yisrael Lemar to Ha'isur Hu Rak Lo Bnei Yisrael Sheishlam Das Shichom Lo Daber Alehem to Beteva Olam. Because normally Mishu Shote in Yochol Lo Daber Vein Yochol Lo Daber Alehem. One might say that one sees a person. It was a Rebbe in YU, Rav Khan. No, when I was in YU, it was an older man that was. Very, very handicapped. He was in a wheelchair. Many listeners might remember him. See, the way he communicated, I'm trying to remember, it was years ago. He moved maybe a finger, an eye. It was very chavrusis. Whenever he was wheeled into the room, he was totally paralyzed, couldn't move anything. When he was wheeled into the room, Rav Khan stood up. Everything was in his yeshiva for years. He came into the room, stood up. He's the purest neshama in this yeshiva. It's all neshama. There's no guf there. It's all neshama. It's all neshama. Hilchas kashrus for the physical guf don't apply. It's all the neshama there. These are very special neshamas in front of us. We just see the guf on the outside. They don't need hilchas kashrus because they're just pure neshamas. Okay. Last thought for the night. Focusing on hilchas kashrus is a klal yikar. You know the Torah gives examples of kosher animals, non-kosher animals. So the Torah says by the Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. We know the rules are split hooves and choose their cut. So, Achezel Tochlu, don't eat the following, Mali, Agira Mafrisi Parso. Which animals? Esagamal. Camels or treif? Why are camels treif? Kima'ala Gerahu, because they chew their cud, Uparsa Inenu Mafris. But their hooves are not split. Tamehu Lachem. They're not kosher. Hashafan, the shafan, is not kosher. Why? Kimala girahu, because it chooses cud. Ufarsa lo farfritz, doesn't have a split hooves. Dar neves, the rabbit. Right, this is one of the words that was taken out in the Septuagint. You know, the Gemara tells us all the 70 rabbis that were put into different rooms because the Greek Talmai wanted them to translate the Torah. 70 different rooms, they all translated it and they made the same 10 changes without knowing each other. That was a tremendous nace. Tremendous day that occurred, they all made the same change. One of them was that Talmai's wife was named Dar neves. So you can't have our nevis, not being a kosher animal in the Torah. So they changed our nevis. One of the words that they changed. So our nevis, the rabbit, is not kosher. Why? Because it chews its cud, but the hooves aren't split. The chazir, the pig, is not kosher. Why? It has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. Ask the klal yikar. Why doesn't the Torah just say, it's not kosher because it doesn't have split hooves? It's not kosher because it doesn't chew its cud. Why first the good sign? A camel is not kosher because it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. Just say, the camel's not kosher because it doesn't have split hooves. Tell me the good sign, and then, oh, but it has the bad sign. Right, one of the rayas that the Torah is divine is that the only example it gives by the pig, the only example that it gives by the animal that has split hooves and does not chew its cud is the pig. That's the only one. It's the only animal in the world. So the Torah is divine. The pig's the only one. Says the Kleyakar though. By all the examples? It says the good sign and the bad sign. Says the Kleyakar. Source number 10. Ubirin Yezeh, you know why it says the good sign? Because the good sign makes it more treif. And more not kosher. Than just having two treif signs. Shesimin Tarash Shebekulon, most of Tuma al Tumasan. No, it's most of Tumah, Kosh Amar Be'esav. Like Esav is compared to a pig, as if the pig puts up its hooves, look, I've split hooves, right? As if to say it's kosher, but it's really a faker. It's really a faker. These animals are worse on a hashkafic level because it's as if they're saying, hey, we're kosher, but it's only one sign. No. That, why they treif? They have this sign, the good sign, and they have the bad sign. Vizemora akomi shein tochel kubaro. It's like anyone who's inside, their pnimis is not like their chitzonius. Kemidas hatzvuim hamar metz atzvam kiksherim. Tehema b'li safi geruim in a rasha hagamur shetochel gabar. Somebody is a totally wicked person. He's wicked. He's wicked on the inside, wicked on the outside. These signs on these animals symbolize the person on the outside tries to be nice and tries to put on a nice show and tries to say, I'm kosher. But really deep down he's not. And really deep down he has the simen of tumah. That's why it's even worse with one kosher sign. And then he said this even works because the Medrash compares each of these animals to one of the nations of the world. The Gamal is Bavel, the Shafan is Madai. Looking in the next paragraph, because throughout history, many nations of the world have tried to, on the outside, say that we're good to the Jews, to say that we'll give you a home, to say that we really feel for you, but deep down they have other plans. Deep down, they're not doing it because they have some great motive, but there's always an ulterior motive. As the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, source number 11, the last source, that La'asid Lavo, all the nations of the world, each nation is going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ultimate din. Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the beginning of 11, V'maya Saktem, nu? So what do you do in history? Omer Lefan of Rabbanu Shel Olam. So some of the nations will say, Harbe Shvakim Takninu, Harbe Merchatzos. We build bathhouses and stables. Harbe Kesef Azov Herbinu. V'kulam Olasino B'Shvi Yisrael. She's asking B'Torah, you know why we built all this, God? It's all for the Jews. Because we wanted the Jews to be able to learn Torah. Omer Lekadosh Baruch Hu Shotim Sheba Olam. You foolish ones. Kol Masha Asitem L'Tzorach Atmachem Asitem. You're liars. You did it for yourselves. Whenever we hear in Bizman Hazeh, we might hear certain nations around us saying, oh, we'll do this for Israel, we'll do that for Israel. And there's no purity there. There's always something behind. Right? The Gemara goes through all the nations. Rome and Ashur, all the nations are quoted. But says the Klal Yakar, that's a Simen Tumah. Because our goal in life is to have Simen Tahara, Mitocho, and Mibachutz. To be the same person on the inside and on the outside. And if we want to be good on the outside, we have to make sure that we are pure mibayis and michutz, and that's what kashrus is all about. Kashrus is about making us kosher, what's on the helping our neshama be sustained with spiritual food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, you know, many svaras given for kashrus, is it healthier, is it this, is that. Ultimately, it's a gzeiras hakasev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for our neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for our neshama. And therefore, we trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's our job, though, to be Mosef Tar al Taraso, not to be Mosef Tumah al Tumaso, and to try to have as many kosher signs on us, learn the message of the ideas expressed in the Psukim, and Beis Hashem, in that way, we'll be able to perfect ourselves, like Aaron HaKohen, like all the ones that we spoke about tonight. Just by the way, whenever we speak about Hilchos Kashrus, just the one line, not only if we spend so many psukim about what goes into our mouth, we have to be so careful about, we also have to make sure and be careful with what comes out of our mouths as well. We always have to make sure of that too. Okay, we'll stop here. Shall we continue next week with a discussion of tzaras?